Congregation, the text for this morning is from Romans 6, the verses 2 and 3, or rather 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So far. The theme for this morning is those things I'll explain later. The theme is improving baptism. How can it be? Well, let me see. The theme for this morning is improving baptism. Two thoughts. The great depth of baptism is a deep thing. Deeper than you might think. Maybe you can see something today of it, of the depth. And so a deeper understanding of baptism. Not a certain amount of knowledge of it, and then that's it. But a deeper understanding, a growing understanding. So improving baptism, the great depth of baptism, and a deeper understanding of baptism. Congregation, young people, let me give you three words. And you try to see the connection. See this connection. The resurrection of Christ. Baptism. And new heart. There's something similar. Again, the resurrection, baptism, and a new heart. It's all three. Something is happening from the dead, right? Resurrection from the dead. The Lord Jesus in the grave. He rose. He came to life again. He rose from the dead by the power of the Father. And baptism, well, that means that the child, the person goes underwater and drowns and then surfaces again, comes to life. So baptism is a kind of a symbolic action, a visible gospel of being raised from the dead. And it's also true for conversion, right? If we are by nature dead, we are in the grave, we are under the water, and the Lord raises people from the dead. So Easter, the resurrection, and baptism and the new heart are similar. Do you see that in verse 2? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So God's people have been delivered from it, and they cannot live in it anymore. Now you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized to his death. The death and dying occurs many times in this chapter. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we. So Christ was raised up by the glory of his Father, so we. So the church. The church, even so, to walk in newness of life. So baptism is not only meaningful for the babies. Baptism doesn't only mean that the Lord is willing to save. He is. There is so much more, so much more depth in baptism. It doesn't only give courage to parents. The Lord doesn't only say, I can save you. He doesn't only say, I am willing to save you. But he says, I save my people. I save them to a new life. I get them out of the sepulcher. I raise them from the dead. I baptize them in Jesus. I baptize them in Jesus, says, in the death, so they may live. Let me show you. And ask yourself the question if you have seen this before. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Have you ever felt something of the anger of God? The frown of the Almighty One? You felt kind of the distance. You said, Lord, be merciful to me. Don't be angry. May the anger be taken away. Remove it, Lord. I like to have this anger removed. And to have thee as my God. And Jesus my Savior. Oh Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thy anger is turned away. This morning we had baptism. And the Lord said this morning in baptism to his people, I turned away my anger from you. I am not angry anymore with you. I was angry, not any longer. See? That is baptism. Understanding something of the anger of God. He takes that anger away and is loving the sinner and forgiving them. Well, Isaiah 35, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion's songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. See that? If you understand baptism, you receive the blessing of it into it. You go home. Do you know this? And come to Zion songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. Obtaining joy and gladness and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So you come to church here, sighing and sorrow, and you see baptism and you understand it, and there is true faith with it, and the sorrow and the sighing are out the window. They flee away. And you obtain joy and gladness. Or think of Daniel 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Oh, the Lord, to him belong mercies. Plural. And forgivenesses. Not just one, but plenty of it. Or sometimes God's children come to church, feeds them of the anger again, feeling so unsaved again, so unconverted again, And there's no joy. There's sighing. And then the Lord shows in baptism there is forgiveness. A forgiveness and mercies. The sealing. And to be encouraged by it. That is baptism. Baptism is not so much different from the Lord's Supper. Both points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both points to the blood of the Savior that cleanses from all sin. So the Lord has put his hand on our head this morning, all throughout the adults, and said, I want to tell you something. There is forgiveness with me. You don't need it. You don't seek it. Why not? Why ignoring? Why neglecting such a great salvation? Baptism speaks about the heart of the issue. Matthew 26, 4. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So to remiss the sins, to remove the sins, feeling the burden on your back, having no relief, looking here and there for a solution. No solution. Until you find something of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is remission of sins by him. He can blot it out, he can erase it. Right? The Bible speaks about throwing the sins overboard so that it sinks to the bottom of the ocean. Baptism speaks of burning out as a morning cloud. Some in the morning you see the clouds hanging low and in no time they're gone. The sun comes up and they just evaporate or disappear. As far as the west is from the east, so far to remove the transgressions from us. That is baptism. That is baptism. The Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it is a message, repent. Repent and be baptized. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek your salvation in him only. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Baptism speaks of the riches. The riches of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read that. So if we only talk about the invitation of the gospel and the possibility and the calling, we miss the point. The heart of baptism is the forgiveness of sins. So this morning we came to church, and I guess that many did not realize it. They said, oh, baptism. Too bad. Oh, boring. We know it already. We already have a full-fledged sermon instead of a short one. But it is on purpose. Our forefathers said, let us have the baptism on Sundays in church when the whole congregation is there. They almost see it. They almost be reminded of it. Improving baptism brings to the second thought, a deeper understanding. Congregation, you have heard of the Westminster Confession, right? You've heard of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, right? There's also a Westminster Larger Catechism, not so well known. Very in-depth, maybe too difficult for the average people. And I have also printed a piece of that in the bulletin for today about baptism. And there is the word improving baptism from. Let me read your piece and just go through it. How is our baptism to be improved by us? Baptism improved by us. What they mean is the experience of it, the knowledge of it. How can it be improved by us? Because it needs to improve, right? There's such a shallow understanding of baptism. We need more depth. We need to have it improved. So how? Is the question. How? Is our baptism to improve by us? And the answer, the needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our lifelong, especially in the time of temptation and when we are present at the administration of it to others. This story at the end. When we are present at the administration of baptism of others. This morning, right? This morning we were witnesses of the administration by others. You were not baptized? No, others. This is an excellent day to improve it. There's a needful duty to improve it. But it is much neglected. People usually don't pay attention to that. So there's much neglecting of the duty of the improving of baptism. But it is to be performed as our lifelong. Our whole entire lifelong. The understanding of baptism needs to improve. Also for God's people. Especially God's people. They should just also ask the Lord for deep understanding to have it improved. Improving baptism. How? Well, to say, by serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it and of the ends for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow made therein. So in the first place, improving baptism means a serious and thankful consideration of it. Or meditation of it. Let me just explain it. Your mother has a new recipe and bake something special. And she says, taste it. And you take a fork or something and you just have it tasted. And you just, yeah, not bad. It's a little hard, a little too warm. I like the taste. And you just reflect on it. And the aftertaste. And you say, yes, that was delicious. I like this, I like that, I like those famous effects. So you have tried it, tasted it, considered it, thought about it, you're conscious of what you're eating. And so the Lord wants us to deal with that baptism. So that you see it, think of it, and taste it and improve baptism that way. The baptism does not come over your head. You stand still. Say, Lord, I need to be washed. I am so dirty. I'm so sinful. I need to be all blood. I can't do it myself. It only gets worse. And you just talk with the Lord. Say, Lord, can you carry for me? Can my sin be forgiven? I've heard about the blood of Jesus, and you just work it out. You just take some time to consider, to meditate on it. In that way, you improve baptism. It is the duty of God's people to improve baptism. Their entire life long. More, Lord. Deeper, Lord. This is so sweet, Lord. But more. Do you think it's a danger that God's people are getting too proud and not so humble anymore? Oh yeah, you know the examples, right, of the Apostle Peter. No, he was not so humble. He says, no, going to happen. He drew the sword. He denied the Master. He was not so humble at all. To improve baptism, we have to improve humility. And the Lord has given us the baptism sacrament to become more humble. More humble. Not richer and stronger, but more humble. More unworthy. So baptism is improved by humility. It works humility. The Lord wants his people to be poor and needy and broken and incapable and just empty-handed. And holy baptism is for the reason to make more humble. That's why it says in the Westminster Catechism, by being humbled for our sinful defilement of our falling short of embarking contrary to the grace of baptism and our engagement. So that means to consider our sinful defilement of the grace of baptism. So the Lord reminds his people of baptism so that they are more poor themselves. Improving baptism is also less doubting. It gives assurance. pursuing the faith, by growing up to assurance of pardon of sin and of all other blessings sealed to us in that sacrament. So the Lord likes His people to be more assured. The Lord loves His people, although they're often doubting people. He loves His doubting people, but He does not love the doubt. And the Lord has therefore given the Holy Supper and the Holy Baptism to be more assured. The Lord said this morning to His people, "Have you forgotten? You don't see it anymore. I do. You are still, and I'm still the same. You change. But I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." The Lord is speaking that to His people. He's assuring them, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will not forsake the works of my own hands." Did you hear that this morning? Consider it all. Meditate on it. Take Romans 6 and read it. Or read in the bulletin the piece of the Westminster Confession. And just reflect on it. It improves strength. You know the weakness of God's people? Weak in prayer, weak in sanctification, fearful. So the Lord wants His people to be stronger and to be more courageous and to have the motivation to continue. By drawing strength from the death of resurrection of Christ, into whom we are baptized, for the mortifying of sins and the quickening of grace. And the quickening of grace. So drawing strength. The Lord wants by baptism to draw strength to His people so they are stronger in this world, in the fight, in the war they're waging. Improving baptism. Also improving by endeavoring to live by faith in holiness. In endeavoring to do your best to live by faith. To our faith, by faith, you have that as an integral part of your life. Living with Him. Living by faith. For you're all children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So Romans 6 is all about that. To encourage God's people to live holy lives, to meditate, to be more humble, to be more assured, to have more strength, to improve unity, and to walk in brotherly love, as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. So holy baptism speaks about the unity of God's people, like the Lord's Supper does. Right? So holy baptism speaks about the unity of God's people. Baptized into Christ Jesus, and to walk in brotherly love, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. See? One Spirit baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So there's more. But this is just a foretaste of what it is, to improve baptism. I would say, congregation, let all of us consider more, think a little more, pray a little more, read a little more, and say, Lord, I have such a small understanding of baptism. May it improve. Also God's people. Also the communicants. There is a duty for the rest of your life to improve baptism and to improve the Lord's Supper. There's so much to learn. Children, the Lord is laying his hands on you. He claims you. He says, I want you to be baptized. This is since you belong to me. I want you to seek me. And I promise, you'll seek me, you'll find me. It is the Lord's word. You get many quick questions about that. But it's the Lord's word. He has spoken. May the Lord give us such a humble joy. A needle in a haystack? Is salvation a needle in a haystack? No chance. Probably not. No. That is not a miracle. Say that. The Lord says, I have no pleasure in your death. Mill that around. Think about it. Meditate upon it. And let him not go until he blesses you. Amen.